This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
Today is the first Sunday in fall, and it's kind of feeling like fall outside, isn't it? And I'm so thankful that our anniversary Sunday, our birthday Sunday here at New Life, landed right on the edge of fall. I love fall. I don't know about you. I absolutely love fall. I also love confetti. I don't know if you noticed, but I really like confetti. And I'm thankful that I gave everyone a heads up, because last year we almost sent some people to heaven, okay, because they didn't know it was coming. Okay, so I hope that didn't startle you too much, but we definitely wanted to celebrate big. But man, there's nothing like fall. Just the brisk air and the pumpkins. Okay, I like pumpkins. The pumpkin coffees. Okay, some of us like our apple cider. Okay, you got the apple cider. Some of us love football. Okay, and my team happens to be the Broncos. Okay, no division. Okay, no division. Just happens to be, okay? We're not doing good right now, but I'm still a fan, okay? We got a pretty good defense. Anyway, whatever. Come back to church. We'll get back into the Word of God, okay? But when we were talking last year about our anniversary, and I really was drawn to our theme passage, which is still 2 Corinthians 5, and we talked about being a new creature in Christ. The video talked about that. But then when we were kind of transitioning into fall this year, I thought, you know, I want to talk about not just what God can do and not just what God is doing, but I want to talk about through faith what God will do. And if I could do this in just the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about a harvest that's coming that God promises will come if we will plant the seeds he has told us to plant. So if there's a season of sowing and if there's a season of growing, there'll be a season of harvest. Let me say that again. If there's a season of sowing and there's a season of growing, there'll be a season of harvest. Now, everyone in here wants a harvest. Everyone in here wants the harvest of having kids that'll actually listen. Okay? Everyone wants the harvest of a marriage that is actually enjoyable. Okay? Everyone in here wants the harvest of a life that is fulfilled in Christ. But the harvest comes after the seeds have been sown and the fruit has grown. And so I want to talk about harvest time today. And I don't just want to talk about the harvest season. I want to talk about a spiritual harvest season that you, as the church, by the way, how many of you know the church is not this school building? The church is you, okay? And that's a beautiful thing, because regardless of where we're meeting, the church is a body of believers that are united around a central truth. And the central truth is that Jesus came to connect with you. And so we want to talk about the harvest time, and we want to talk about the process of the harvest. And in order to do that, I want you to take your Bibles or take out your outline, and I want you to go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and I want to tell you a little bit about who this book was written to. And I also want to let you know that that we had a wonderful trip, and the Lord opened the door. Someone provided for us to go on this study trip the last 2 weeks, and we hated being away from New Life and our boys. But we were so thankful to study where the majority of these letters, the majority of the New Testament was written. And this book was written to the churches in Galatia. And I want to show you a map of where this is at. And I actually was in this region right here. We were at Crete last week, and it was a wonderful thing to see where Titus pastored and some of the pastors he had trained, where they had given their lives. But if you focus on this area, this is modern-day Turkey. It was a fun thing to see my phone light up. Welcome to Turkey. I thought, man, I'm where the Apostle Paul did a lot of his ministry here in Turkey. But the middle portion of this, the middle portion is known as Galatia. I don't know if you can see that. Go back to the other map, guys, if you could. But Pamphylia, this region right up here, there's lots of different words that are used in Scripture. But this major region, he was probably over here in Antioch, writing to these churches in Galatia. Now, this area over here on the coast of the GNC, the Mediterranean down here, this is known as Asia Minor. Okay, so this is where Paul was writing to. He was writing to the middle portion of this, and there was a group of churches that were young, a lot like our church, that were young, and he wanted them to understand this this practical truth of sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. So I want to read this passage of scripture in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse number 7. We're going to read down just a few verses, verse number 10, okay? And then I want to have a word of prayer, and then I want to do this quick study, okay? Verse number 7 says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Everyone say reap. That's the harvest, okay? Verse number 8. "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season," that's the harvest, "in due season we shall reap," there's the harvest again, "if we faint not. For we have therefore opportunity let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." You know, I read that phrase, the household of faith. I was thankful that I was a part of this household of faith. And so today as we celebrate, I want to talk about harvest time in your life and the life of our church. Let's pray. God, I pray that you please use these brief moments as we study these scriptures, as we look to your word, our final authority, Lord, for our faith and for our practice, our everyday practical lives. God, I pray that you would please use this in every heart, from the youngest to the oldest in the room. Lord, would you please speak to us? Would you please use these words as it is in truth, not the words of men, but as the words of God? I pray that you would please, Lord, help us to realize that you can do a work in our life that we cannot do in and of ourselves. Use this, Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's an interesting phenomenon when it comes to the life of a plant that was being used as a metaphor here in Galatians 6. Now, I grew up in Iowa, and in Iowa, there's not a whole lot to do other than to grow things, okay? And when I was about 6 or 7 years old, my parents decided to plant a garden. And this wasn't like one of those little planter box gardens that we might have here. This was a full-on farm, okay? I mean, we had rows of corn, rows of tomatoes, we had rows of beans, cabbage, lettuce, all the above. I mean, every vegetable you would want, my parents decided to grow. Now, when I say they decided to grow, they decided I was going to grow, okay? So guess who was weeding? Me. Guess who was going out there and trying to get all of the rabbits out of there? Me, with a shotgun. I was 6, okay? No, but really, I mean, it was just, that was the life that I grew up in. Now, in this region, okay, in Galatia, it's very, very fertile. And Paul was speaking to a group of farmers. In Galatia, it was mostly farmers. And they would have known these inherent, just perfect metaphors for what God was expecting of them. And when he used an agrarian, when he used a farmer's metaphor, he was speaking right to their heart. Now, in order to do this in LA County, you would have to use like traffic or money, okay, or something that would speak to, but listen, when we speak about these terms, we need to understand that even now, there are some things we know about plants, but the reality is the process of growth, it happens sometimes. Sometimes you'll plant and nothing will grow. And so a season of harvest is the result of growth, and it is the result of new life. And this is one of the reasons that I believe the Lord wanted me to talk about this. We're going to start a new series next week. This is just for this week, and this is just to understand that when we say that new life is happening here, that the miracle of new life is it's growing and things are happening and God is blessing, that this new life is a harvest and that the harvest has come because there has been a process that God has blessed. And so the process of the harvest is spoken about in Proverbs 27, 25. Okay? Now, Proverbs 27, 25 says, "The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered." Okay? So when the grass grows, you cut it down and use it as hay. When the herbs come out, you cut them down and use them in your soup. Right? And so he's saying, listen, these things are grown, and then they're harvested, they're used, they're valuable. And so it is the growth of new life that produces the harvest, and the harvest of fruit that provides then more seeds to grow. And so it's this constant, perpetual, this process of expanding, not just adding, but multiplying. And God uses the process of growth in people's lives. And so we all desire growth. You all desire a harvest. I do as well in my life. But sometimes we need to stop and admit something. We need to stop and admit what I admitted this morning, what I told the Lord the moment I woke up this morning, that everything you have grown here at New Life, that he's grown me, he's grown my family, and I've watched many of you grow spiritually, and it's been a wonderful process of growing together, and I hope there's much more growth and much more spiritual steps and much more blessing of God. But everything that has been done because of him. And so, Ricardo, I want you to bring up my apple tree. Okay? Because I can't help but just stop and say that when something happened here, that's okay. I think it'll live. But I wanna just stop and say this because I don't want us to miss this, because I think this will be a key to all of our growth in this season. That we are totally incapable of producing growth, good growth, on our own. In fact, here's a key thought that I really believe at the very core of my being, and that is that the core of spiritual growth is the realization that God is the giver of it. And if we are thinking that we can grow just because we are in the right environment, or because we are putting the right things in the soil, or because we are better than the plant next to us, or we look better than the plant next to us, or we're not broken. The point is, we are totally incapable of growth on our own without God. And the sooner we admit that, the sooner we can grow the way he intended. The sad thing is, I've known a lot of Christians that try to tape the fruit onto their life. And it's not organic fruit. And it's the number one reason why people don't come to church, because they're like, he doesn't even have fruit. I mean, he's taping it on. That's not who he is. You don't know who he is. I know who he is on Friday night. So he's taping his fruit on Sunday morning, but let me tell you what he looks like on Friday night. And here's the point, is growing fruit is not something I can do. It's something only God can do. And I can try to play as much classical music, and I can try to pour, I mean, I could even try to take apple juice and say, I really want the fruit, God, and pour the apple juice. I hope that's not bad for it. I don't think it is. How can apple juice be bad for an apple tree? Really? The point is this. Nothing that we could ever do could make this grow if God doesn't want it to, or if God knows it's not ready for growth. And so there are three principles for growth. We're not going to be long today, but because we have a lot of announcements today, but I just want to tell you that these have meant a lot to me. And I hope that our church, I hope all of you could get this. And if you're brand new, if this is your first Sunday, it's a great first Sunday, because listen, your spiritual growth is dependent on you understanding that it is God that can grow you. It is God that can save a relationship, or God that says, you know what, the relationship's broken, but I can mend it better than you can. And it's God that can be the one to say, listen, I know that there's been something in the past, and the tree's not growing the way you want it to, and the fruit's not coming like you think it should, but just wait, because there's a season of harvest coming in your life. And so let me just say something today to those of you that are doubting the season of harvest. Some of you that say, yeah, I was hoping for a harvest in this area. I was hoping that I would see some fruit of healing or some fruit of something that God, I wanted God to do, but I haven't seen it yet. Let me just say that there's a process for growth. And I want you to know, number one, the principle is this, that the harvest we show has a process. Any harvest that we show, any fruit that we show, any fruit that we enjoy, okay, has a process. This apple did not grow in a day. There was a process to bring this fruit to pass. We need to understand that. And so anyone can enjoy the fruit, Job, but we all have to go through the process. And so, what is that process? Well, let's talk about it here for a second, okay? Put the tree on the side. We'll come back to this, come back to my tree, okay? First Sunday in fall, all right? But here's the process. Okay, the process is found in verse number 7. I want you to look at it with me. Verse number 7, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." It's not if, it's not maybe, it's if you sow, you will reap. There's the process. The process is sowing, the process is growing, the process is reaping. Okay? Now, the word deceived, and this is such a beautiful thing, the word deceived, I want you guys to put it up there, it's this planeo. Okay, it's the word that means to cause to wander from the truth, to go astray from reality, to be misled, okay, to be mistaken. And so it's actually the word that the Latin derives from planet, okay? And they used to believe that the planets were just kind of randomly straying around the earth. And they hoped back in, 3000 BC that they wouldn't collide into earth. Now we know that there is a process. And one of the most beautiful things that we've ever seen, okay, in modern day is when Apollo 8 understood this process and put it to the test. Let me tell you how, okay? When Apollo 8 took off, okay, and before you go to the next slide, guys, they had studied, the mathematicians and the rocket scientists, they had studied the Earth's rotation and the moon's rotation, and they had lined up everything just perfectly, and they said, we know that the Earth's rotation is a certain speed, and we know that the gravitational pull and the moon's rotation is a certain speed, and if we get to a certain speed ourselves, we will be able to use the Earth's rotation to then launch into the orbit of the moon and be able to see something man has never seen before. Now, I know what, if you're 20 and under, you're thinking, it was a Photoshop job. Hold on. Because I want to explain something that is fact. Okay, there's lots of conspiracy theories. We're not going to talk about those today. But let me just show you something. Apollo 8 actually did take off. Okay, here's a picture of it. Okay, so Apollo 8 actually left the ground. We don't doubt that. Okay. And it actually, we know that it got up to speeds of 25,000 miles an hour. You say, well, how fast is that? That's going to LAX and back in 10 seconds. That's how fast that is, okay? Of course, there'd have to be no traffic for that. But regardless, okay? Again, some things are constant, right? That's where we're going with this. Okay, so they took off. They had to go 25,000 miles around the Earth, okay? And then, though, they went that fast around the Earth's orbit because the moon is traveling, okay, is orbiting 2,300 miles an hour. And so they launched from Earth's orbit into the moon's orbit. And I think we have a couple pictures of what that orbit looked like. And they orbited the moon, getting these first hand photos of the Earth from the moon, and they told us that everything the scientist had studied, all of the rotations, all of the speeds, were absolutely constant. Now, let me just tell you something about God's universe. it's not random. It is not random, and it is so consistent, and it is so dependable that regardless of what your persuasion is of faith, you have to believe this, that there is absolute truth and there are absolute laws of physics and there are absolute laws of morality in the Bible. And if these laws are broken, it doesn't matter how great you are or how little you are. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. These laws apply to all of us. Just as the laws applied to the Apollo 8 mission, the laws of the centrifugal force and gravity and all of the poles and all of the things they had studied to line up just right. And if they didn't get it just right, they knew that it would be a disaster. But let me tell you something. Another disaster is when we are deceived, when we wander from the law that we are given in the Word of God. And the law is this, that when we sow to the flesh, we reap the destruction, the corruption of the flesh. But when we sow to the Spirit, when we sow to God's way of doing things, we reap the harvest of God's blessing and God's power in our lives. And that's what we've been trying to say the last 3 years, that God has a purpose. God has a process. And so I want to tell you a little bit about the harvest, because one of Satan's most clever ploys is to get us to doubt God's perfection of his process, the perfection of his process. And here's the key thought under this point. The harvest, a harvest of any kind, okay, is not happenstance. When we reap a harvest in our lives, okay, and there's a blessing in our lives, and we have so much to be thankful for, but it's not happenstance, it's not coincidence, okay? It's God's providence, and the word providence is providio, meaning God is placing goodness into the earth despite the evil that man has brought into the earth. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they sinned for all of us. They brought sin into the human race. You inherited sin from your father. Say father because I'm a dad, okay? I want to make the moms feel bad. But even mothers, okay, have sin too. But let me just tell you something, that we inherited sin, but Jesus came to deal with our sin. And so the providence of God is bringing goodness in our lives, and the wonderful season of harvest might seem spontaneous, but it always follows God's process for new growth. You see, no one skips to the harvest without planting and watering, waiting for God to give the growth. And so how does this work? What is the process of the harvest? I want to show it to you in a chart. That when the right thing, that's the seed, and we're going to talk about some right things we can do this fall, when the right thing is done for the right reason, that's the soil, that's the attitude, that's the why are we doing this? How do you feel about doing this? Like, oh, I gotta go to church again. Oh, I better read my Bible. You know, it's like, man, dude, listen, why? Why does God ask you to do this? Why does God talk to you when he already knows what you're gonna say and he already realizes what you need? Why? It's for you. And so we need to understand the fact that it's not just the right things. The Pharisees were doing the right things, but they were doing it for the wrong reasons. And so a lot of hypocritical people in churches, they're doing the right things, but they're just doing it to do it. They're not doing it for the right reason, with the right spirit. So when the right thing is done for the right reason, at the right time, in the right season, you don't try to harvest something when it's just sprouting out of the ground. But when you're doing it in the right season, when God's ready to give the blessing, you're receiving it. You're not taking it before it's time. Then the right results, the harvest will come. Let me explain this to you from 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3 says this. I have planted, Paul said. He planted a seed. He did the right thing. Apollos watered, but let's say it together. God gave the increase. That's the truth. We can plant, we can water. Parents, you can plant, you can water. But you know who gives the increase? God. Let's see this again. He says, so then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Listen, if you plant a seed of kindness, if you plant a seed this fall into your life, or truth into your children, or into your marriage, listen, God is the one that's going to give the increase. Now, he that planted and he that watered are one. So that's one side of things. But every man that shall receive, that's the harvest, of his own reward according to his labor. Wait a second, so it is up to us? No. Why? Because we are laborers together. Everyone say together. So we are laborers, we are farmers, we are planters, we are waters, we are receivers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. By the way, this is another term for farmer. God wants you to farm your heart and to cultivate your soil so that he can grow things in your life that no psychologist could ever grow in you, that no self-help book, that no, you know, 1 week, you know, intensive, you know, this training. Listen, none of that could grow you like God could grow you. Why? Because God knows you like no one else knows you. God created you. God loves you like no one else loved you. Why? God loves to grow in you what no one else could so that he can get the glory for it. And so it is God that gives the increase. It's God that brings the increase. And so it's we're sowing to reap. He that soweth will reap. Okay, if you're sowing to the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit life, he says in verse number 8 of our text. Okay, now the word reap in Galatians 6:7, the word reap here is this interesting word it's talking about the harvest. Guys, go ahead and put the word reap up. But it's this word. The process of harvesting, but it's not just harvesting, it's gathering what has been grown. And it's to cut what is ready to be collected. There has to be a separation to say, now it's ready. Now we are ready to move forward toward growth. Now, when apples aren't ready, they're not good for eating. But when I was 9 years old, okay, my son is over at New Life Kids, he's 9 years old. When I was 9 years old, I realized something good that apples had before they were ripe. They were really good at pelting people. And so I remember this one day vividly because I went outside and we were playing around and there was this one really, really annoying girl who lived two doors down from me. And she was always that girl who always said the wrong thing at the wrong time. This kind of annoying voice, kind of like fingernails on a chalkboard. Oh, man, what are you talking about? You know, it's just when you're 9 years old and there's just that annoying girl, okay? And so I remember talking to my friend and I said, when she comes around the corner, okay, we're just going to take all of these little apples. They weren't ripe. We take all these little apples and we're just going to drive her right back to her house. Now listen, before you judge me, okay, you have to remember, I lived in Iowa, okay? You have to give me a break here, okay? It wasn't a whole lot to do here. I remember she came around and like, I mean, we were just giving it to her. Bam, 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 bam. It's like, oh, guys, stop it. And we're like, yeah, this is awesome. I mean, this is like a 9-year-old, you know, an incredible day for me. And so we were eating lunch. We had gone inside to eat lunch. And all of a sudden, I heard this sound, the front of our house, like someone took a jackhammer to our front door. And it was like, boom, 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 boom. And I realized that there were consequences to my actions. And I remember kind of hiding, trying to listen, but also hiding. And my mom went to the door, and her dad let my mom have. I mean, he was like, you need to get your son and bring him out here. I want to tell him. I mean, it was. Come to find out, much later, like 18 years later, that, seriously, I'm jumping ahead, but there's a reason, that this guy was actually turned out to be a drug dealer. No one knew, our whole neighborhood. I'll never forget when my next door neighbor told me the story about how this guy got caught and whatever. I'm thankful to be alive. This guy was so upset. And then I had to go over to his house, and I had to apologize to this girl. I'm thinking in my 9-year-old mind, like, there's not even a mark. I mean, come on, you know. Obviously, I wasn't learning, okay? It was a process. But I'll never forget my parents sitting me down. They were trying to teach me through this moment, and they said, listen, those apples are going to be used for things in the future, but if you pluck them now, they have little use. And you know the one thing that is so true is we try to pluck good fruit before God wants us to take it. And if we allow the fruit to ripen and then we pluck it, then it has great use. Now let me tell you something, that if you wait, I've also known a lot of Christians, including myself, where they waited. God was trying to get them to go through the process, to go through the process of learning. And we wait. And guess what happens if you wait and fruit ripens too much? Guess who takes over? The worms. Well, I think we have some pictures of some fruit. I mean, a worm coming out of a fruit, how would you like to bite into them apples? Right? Fruit that's been rotten. Why? Because it wasn't used when it was time to be used. Let me tell you, there's a law of a harvest, and God is working in all of your lives, but it's time to move when he says it's time to move, and it's time to wait when he says it's time to wait. And so let me tell you some harvests this fall that we can start realizing and kind of put this into some practical terms, and it's the harvest of influence. God has given everyone in this room influence. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, you've been given influence, and God wants you to collect that. God wants you to harvest that. God wants you to use that for his work, for his will. And I don't know what it is, but it might be this fall just having a conversation with a friend or a family and maybe just telling them about Jesus, or maybe inviting them to an event at church or something along those lines, just to use the influence God has given you for his work, for his good. To maybe it's the harvest of a testimony. Maybe it's a coworker that you need to talk to and say, hey, listen, I've never had this conversation with you before, but I just want you to know that I pray for you often, and I know you're going through a hard time right now, but I just wanted to give you this book, or I just wanted to tell you that if you ever have any questions about faith, or you ever have any questions about God, let me know. I might not know the answer, but I just wanted to let you know that. And it might just be getting some courage to reap the harvest of truth. You may have been sowing some truth into a spouse or a loved one or teenager, but it might be time to say, hey, listen, I've sown the truth into your heart, but now it's time to make a choice. Now it's time to make a decision. Now it's time, fam, to take the next step. And the harvest is saying, God wants me to do something, and I'm not going to wait till it spoils. I'm going to do it right now. And that is making the most of the harvest. And so that's the harvest. That's the process of the harvest. It's sowing and growing and reaping. God is the sustainer of that. But let me just tell you something too. We're almost finished. I wanted to take the most time on that first point. But number two, I want to tell you the second principle for growth, and that is, it is this. The seeds we sow hold potential. So the harvest we show, it's a process that God is you know, initiating and sustaining. But the seeds we sow in that to gain that harvest, they're the ones that hold potential. Let me tell you that everyone in here holds seeds of potential. Let me tell you what I mean. In verse number 8, it says that he that soweth of the flesh shall reap corruption. So there are seeds that we can sow to our own desires, to our own selfishness, to what we want when we want it. There are seeds of resentment. There's seeds of all of that in all of us, including me. So we all have those seeds, okay? But then look at what he says. He turns it around and he says, but he that soweth good seeds, seeds of the fruit of the Spirit, if you're sowing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, if you're sowing to the Spirit, you shall reap life everlasting. You'll reap the life that God has, the life more abundant that he talked about. And so the life that he has for us is coming through a process. And verse number 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Now the word mocked is this word here. It's this word that comes from the word that we get for nostril, okay? And so nostril means to turn up your nose, okay? That's where we get stuck up, okay? So turn up your nose, okay? Or sneer at, okay? And give someone the evil eye, I guess is the way you could put it. To treat with contempt, to take lightly, or to ridicule. You say, I would never ridicule God. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. God is not ridiculed. What does this mean? It means that sometimes I have believed in my life, and maybe you have as well, that I could do something, and just because God gives me grace, I get away with it. And God says this, that's not how it works. Every time we sow the seed of selfishness, every time we sow the seed of pride, every time we sow a seed of lust, or we sow a seed of resentment and anger, all of those seeds, they will bring forth fruit. And God says, listen, I have put this process into place. There will be consequences because it's the same for everyone. I will not be mocked. I'm just. You will always receive the fruit of what you have put into your heart and your life. My mom always used to make me repeat this growing up, garbage in, garbage out. That's how she said it. But it's just when you place the wrong seeds, you're always going to reap the wrong fruit. And the seeds of the Spirit bring the fruit of repentance and the fruit of confession, the fruit of reaping the righteousness of God. And many times we don't sow the right seeds because we don't see an immediate return. So here's the key thought from this point. And it is that a seed, only when it is sown, unlocks the power of its potential. It only unlocks the power of potential when we sow it. It's the seed that is sown. It has potential. The seeds have power if we plant them. They're present. Okay, if I had an apple seed, break one of these apples up and have an apple seed, and we just had a bucket of dirt, I could sow it. There's potential there for a tree, but it's unseen. It's latent. The word latent, potential, it's present, but it's unseen. It hasn't been unlocked yet, and it only can be unlocked once it's buried. It only can be unlocked once we see the fruit of it. It's coming because it was buried. It was put under the ground. And Jesus talked about this. He talked about this when he said, I believe in John 12, verse 24, he said this, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die and bringeth forth much fruit, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life, that's a comparison to say, listen, if you love me, and if you're investing more than you're loving your life and loving your pleasure and loving this world, in this world ye shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And so what he's saying is, listen, if you hold tightly to what you think you can grasp onto and keep, you'll end up losing it anyway. But if you'll, even when you feel buried, and even when you feel distressed, and even when you feel, distracted, and even when there's times when you feel buried, just know God's growing something. God's doing something. You may not see it now, but God's working. God's moving. God's doing something in your life, and the power of a seed can move great things. In fact, I have some pictures of some things that the seeds can grow into, and it can push concrete. And this was a sidewalk in LA, and this tree's roots just out of one seed pushed the rocks, pushed the sidewalk aside. Great power in that one seed. One seed just kind of lifted this sidewalk right up. Why? Over time it grew, and over time it has power if we plant it. But we must plant the seeds. And the seeds that God has given us are the seeds that we're going to be looking at in our Overcomer series. There's seven stories about Jesus that we're going to talk about in the next 7 weeks. But I want to tell you some of the seeds that we're going to talk about the next 7 weeks, okay? I've just given you six. There's lots more that God promises to grow, but the seeds that we sow, if we sow these seeds, God's promises to grow them. The seed of God's word will grow in our heart and will change our heart, as Isaiah 55 says. The seed of the gospel will bring conviction. The seed of authentic invitation will bring people to Jesus. The seed of confession and forgiveness will bring new life to relationships. The seed of patience and kindness will bring a softened heart, and the seed of prayer will bring wisdom and answers and power. And all of these scriptures and more will tell us that the seeds we sow will grow the fruit we are seeking. And so we must seek God's way of growing by planting the seeds and allowing Him to bring forth the fruit. And so number one, we see that the harvest we show is because of the process of growth that God brings. And that process begins with seeds. The seeds that are sown hold potential. There's potential there. If you sow the seed, you may not see the growth process, but it's coming. And then number three, and finally, the fruit we grow has a purpose. It has a purpose. I want to talk to you about the purpose of growth. And I want to talk to you about knowing the purpose of growth, knowing how God is bringing purpose and growth into our life, and knowing how God can bring growth into our hearts and in our lives. Now, I'm going to put all of the guys in the room on a little bit of notice, okay? Because I'm gonna ask you to vote, okay? If you know what these items are. Now, don't be afraid, okay? It's all just one big happy family here, okay? But we're going to see how well you know certain things that all the ladies in the room are going to know what these things are, but let's just see how the guys do, okay? I'm just going to try to help everyone get on the same page here, okay? But here's the first thing. Does anyone know what this is? Okay? Raise your hand if you're a guy and you know what this is, okay? There's one guy in the house that knows what this is, okay? Oh, there's a couple, okay? So a couple guys know what this is, but basically you put this over a cup of water, put it in the microwave, put some vinegar in it, and it cleans your microwave. Amazing, okay? Available on Amazon. Let me go. Okay, whatever. It's like an infomercial. All right? Here's the next thing. Any one of you guys know what this is, okay? There's one. All right? Not very many, okay? Now here's a few of them. Maybe you recognize it if there's a bunch of them, okay? You guys know what this is? All right, so I guess it's for taking makeup off. I don't know. It's supposed to be healthy for your sin. I'm not sure, okay? I wasn't really sure about this one. Here's another one, guys. Okay? Any guys in here know what this is? You know what this is? All right? Yeah, it's a fish. Thank you. Does anyone know what the purpose is? Okay? You know what the purpose is? It's for taking the yolk out of when you crack an egg and you want to take, you only want the egg whites, you just kind of suck it right up. Look at that. Kind of take the, isn't that nice? Okay. Also available on Amazon. Okay. Come on. I have no, like, stock in any of these companies, right? Okay? So, you guys know what this one is, right? Okay, a little few more. Okay, all right. I had to throw an easy one in there. Okay? Try to help your self-confidence, all right? Let me tell you. When it comes to everyday items, knowing the purpose of them, you can take it or leave it. But let me tell you some things that you absolutely have to know the purpose of. You have to know the purpose of why God absolutely wants you and has destined you to grow. You have to know the purpose for your growth. If we do not know the purpose for our growth, we are going to always be trying to grow for other reasons. And they might be good reasons, but ultimately they'll be the wrong reason. You know, lots of people have made lots of money and done a lot of things and gotten to the top of their perspective careers and industries. And let me just tell you something. Oftentimes you can do the right thing for the wrong reason and be filled with regret. When you know the purpose of why God wants you to grow, it changes everything. So there's a purpose for growth. And I want you to see that this purpose for growth in verse number 9. This is great. I think you're going to love this as we close. It says this in verse number 9. Let us, that's all of us, okay? Let us not be weary in well-doing. So, anyone ever get weary here? I mean, you ever just get tired? The word weary just means to be faint-hearted, to be discouraged, just everything in life is just kind of, it's not really going, you know, the old phrase, when it rains, it pours, okay? You ever been in a season? Maybe you're in a season like that right now. Let me just tell you something. When you're weary in well-doing, okay, it's not really helpful for someone to come alongside you and says, don't be weary, right? Let me just say what is good to focus on, and that is this. For in due season, everyone say due season. Due season. You know what the word due season, it's actually the word's repeated twice in the next two verses, we'll see it, but it's this word kratos, and it's this word that means a certain time, a certain season, but it means an opportunity. It means the right time. Let me just tell you, you may feel like you're in the wrong time, but there's a right time coming. And that's not just hocus pocus. That's not just me giving you false hope. That's me telling you that God recognizes the season that you're in. And God wants to use the season of you're in to bring more growth than you could have if you hadn't have gone through this season. And so go back to the verse, because it says this. It says, in due season, you might reap. No, you shall reap. You know, when this bush, when this tree goes through a storm, it gets stronger. When the rains fall on this tree, it actually grows faster. When the hot sunlight comes out, it actually is healthy for this. And it might be uncomfortable at times, but it's necessary for growth. And sometimes it hurts God's heart, but sometimes we have to go through a season of putting away the things that are actually killing our growth, and it's actually bringing us closer to Him, and it's actually producing greater things in our life than we could have if we hadn't have gone through it. And I hate it when someone goes through a trial, and several of you are, but let me just tell you that in due season, God's going to bring that fruit. God's going to bring that harvest. So don't give up. Don't faint. Don't throw in the towel and say, I haven't grown the fruit I want to grow, and so I'm just not going to grow anymore. Stay with the process. Stay with the planting. Stay with the opportunity. And that's what he says twice. He says, if, as we have, therefore, he just assumes we have the opportunity, same word as due season, okay, krainos, it's let us do good unto all men. By the way, tonight we're doing serve projects, all of you are invited, and we're going to go do good to all men. That is what we're commanded to do. Jesus went about doing good, especially to them that are of the household of faith. And so it's the process of growth, that the purpose of growth is to strengthen us. But ultimately, the purpose of growth is to bring glory to God. And it's for His goodness. It's for His praise. It's for His glory and not our own. And so here's the key thought to this last point, is that God gives growth to those who are ready for it. Let's say that together. God gives growth to those that are ready for it. Maybe you feel like you're going in circles. Maybe you feel like God's just putting you through the same thing over and over again. Sometimes it's good to just to stop and say, why am I going through this? What is the purpose? What do I need to learn? What is God trying to show me here? Because maybe God is trying to deepen my roots, and maybe God is trying to strengthen my branches before I start to produce the fruit that He wants me to grow. And so it is God that gives the growth, and it is God that gives the growth in due season. He gives it in the right time. Now, let me just show you, just kind of as a way of illustration, okay, as we finish today. I kind of like to put things in just practical terms, and if I were to tell you that you planted a seed and you started to grow this, and then you grow one apple, two apples, maybe there's a whole bag of apples. So there's a bunch of fruit from one tree. How many of you know trees don't generally just give off one piece of fruit? This apple tree, if it grows, it might give out, you know, several, maybe even several hundred, right? So one seed of growth that one person planted can actually bless many. It can actually bless a lot of people. And actually, everyone who receives one of these can then go plant their own tree. And if you plant your own tree, then you'll have a blessing to bless someone else. How many of you know that you're blessed to be a blessing? How many of you know that new life has not just grown and God hasn't blessed us just so that we could hoard it? Do you understand that? And so our serve projects tonight are for us. From the very beginning, we didn't want to just celebrate within our four walls. That's not our purpose. No, our purpose for growth is to take it out and to say, yes, God's been good to me. Hey, let me give you some of the goodness that God has given to me. Let me share some of the kindness that others have shared to me. Let me give you some of the fruit of love, of joy, of gentleness, of kindness. And so we're here because God has grown us. But we'll never grow any further if we don't share it with others. You get two. Listen, God wants us to grow, but we will never grow if we're not sowing. We have to sow the seeds in order to reap the harvest. Now, when you sow the seed, then you get the harvest. And the harvest is not just the fruit. It's what you do with the fruit. And so today, to celebrate, we're not just going to give out some fruit. We're going to enjoy the fruit. What better way to enjoy apples than with apple pie, right? So everyone, when we leave, you get a little apple pie to celebrate our third anniversary, okay, our third birthday. Apple pie and vanilla or caramel ice cream, okay, for you caramel lovers, okay? Often I'll talk about food in church, and I'll feel bad about it. Today I don't feel bad about it because you're going to get it, okay? You're like, hurry up and wrap this thing up, man. You can't put that up there and then... But let me close with one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I think this will bless you as we leave. And it is this. It is Isaiah 35, 4. And it says this. That he will come and save you. By the way, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, it's a beautiful thing just to know that he will save you. Say, oh, you don't know what I've done. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. So he will come and save you. That was a prophecy by Isaiah about Jesus. And then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. How many of you know the eyes of the blind were open when Jesus came? He fulfilled that promise, but spiritually as well. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then the lame shall leap as a hart, as a deer, really. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. I was going to make a joke about the worship team here, but I felt like that was not a good joke, okay? Just joking. I'm sorry. I have a really weird sense of humor. But let's keep reading. For in the wilderness, I love this, shall waters break out and streams in the desert. I love living in the desert. Man, when the flowers start blooming in the spring, and man, it just feels like, wow, the desert's coming to life. We saw that this last spring. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of waters, and the habitation of the dragons. Man, dragons in the Bible, look at that. That's incredible. Where each lay and shall grass with reeds and rushes, meaning it shall bloom. What a wonderful thing that is. It's blooming in the desert, that where there's a dry spell and where there's not a lot of harvest, God can bring the harvest. And here's the takeaway before we pray, and that is this, that a harvest of growth in all of our lives and in our church, a harvest of growth happens when the right action is sown for the right reason. Let's say that together. A harvest of growth happens when the right action is sown for the right reason. Let me just tell you something. Tonight we have an opportunity to do the right thing for the right reason. We've had several business owners say, hey, we'll open up our businesses. You guys just come out. We're going to give away refreshments. In fact, guys, put up the serve projects. And if you want to sign up for one of these, you can stop by the welcome table. You can put it on your connection card. Put a time from 4 to 7. We're going to be doing these projects. You can do 1-hour increments. Show up from 5 to 6. Show up from 4 to 5, whatever works for you. We're going to be at AV Mall giving out some candy and some invitations to the Harvest, the festival we're having on the 13th of October. We're at the neighborhood market giving out cookies and lemonade and lots of other fun things there. Bed Bath & Beyond, same thing. The parks team, just going out in the parks, being a blessing, giving out bottled water, just giving kindness to people. We're serving our community. Street team, we're going out into the community and just being a blessing to people. Let me just tell you, if you want to be a part of one of these, mark it down. But we're not doing it just to be seen. We're not doing it just because it's something good to do or make ourselves feel better. No, we're doing it because of what God has done for us. And we're not just celebrating in this moment. We want to serve because God came down to us. And he was the ultimate servant because he gave his life for us. And now let's turn around and sow the seeds of his goodness with others and allow our children and our children's children to watch the harvest come in.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.